Well, hello, everybody. With Bob Christopher, I'm Bob Davis, and we welcome you to the Christmas Day edition of Basic Gospel. Merry Christmas, everybody. Well, Bob, the day has finally arrived, and of course, our prayer is that despite anything that might be going on in the lives of our listener friends, we fully understand that our God is bigger and stronger than any of those things, and we have His promise that He'll never leave us to struggle on our own or forsake us for whatever the reason might be. So I think that's an incredible gift now or any time, Bob. Don't you agree?
Yes, indeed, Bob. And we're excited to just kind of read through the Christmas story today. This is a tradition that I do with my family every Christmas morning. The first thing that we do when we get up, and that's really early for the Christopher household, is we will sit down and circle up in our living room, and we'll read through the Christmas story as recorded in the Gospel of Luke. Yeah. And so today I wanted to do that, and there are many things that we can learn from this story. You mentioned the fact that, we've waited for this day. It's finally arrived. And, you know, that's really the meaning of Advent. You know, for thousands and thousands of years, there was this story that was being told to the people of Israel about a Messiah, about somebody that was to come. Moses talked about a prophet was going to be raised up that was going to be similar to Moses, but he has the words of eternal life, and we should listen to him. We hear about a new priest. We hear about a king, somebody that's going to sit upon the throne of David forever. And so that story was being told about Jesus, and details were being unfolded throughout history. You know, where he was going to be born and how it was going to take place, the fact that he was going to be born of a virgin and in the town of Bethlehem. All of these things were being told to the people of Israel. So they anticipated his arrival. That's what Advent is all about, waiting for the arrival of a special person. Well, 2,000 years ago in the town of Bethlehem, a Savior was born to us. His name is Christ the Lord. And that's exactly what Luke tells us in his gospel account. And we're going to start in chapter 2, and we're going to read down through the first 21 verses of this. There's so much more that we could read to tell the story, to fill in, all of the details. But this really concentrates us on that one day, the day that Christ was born. Now, in those days, a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. Now, I love how Luke does this because he's a true historian. He sets the story in history. Uh-huh. There's a context there. You know, so many skeptics of Christianity say it was just made up, that Jesus wasn't a real historical figure. It just came out of the minds, the imaginations of men. But here Luke, who is fulfilling the role of a historian, is giving us the historical detail. This happened in history. In those days, a decree went out from Caesar Augustus. We know when he ruled and reigned as the Roman emperor. Now, this was the first registration when Quirinius was governor of Syria. So we have another historical marker right here. So we have Caesar Augustus, we have Quirinius. So that's narrowing it down to a specific time in human history. Yeah. And all went to be registered, each to his own town. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, from the town of Nazareth, to Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David. So we have this story of this seed that was going to come into the world. And it starts with Abraham. It even starts way back in the garden when God says to the serpent, the seed of the woman will bruise your head and that sort of thing. So we see that all the way back in the garden. But then we move forward. We see God meeting with Abraham. Abraham is given these promises and blessings. And one of those is through your seed, the world is going to be blessed. So Abraham had a son of promise, Isaac. Isaac had Jacob, Jacob and Esau, but Jacob was the chosen one. And Jacob had the 12 sons. One of those 12 sons was Judah. And David came out of the lineage of Judah. And David sat on the throne, and God said that there was somebody that was going to follow that would sit on the throne of David forever. So Jesus had to come out of the lineage of David. And that was it, and that was Joseph. He was out of the house and lineage of David. Now, they went from Galilee, and it says they went up to Bethlehem. And the reason they say that, if you look on the map, Galilee is in the north, Bethlehem is in the south, but it is an uphill climb.
Yeah. Right.
So I think the Sea of Galilee is around sea level, actually below sea level. Jerusalem, Bethlehem is about 3,000 feet above sea level. So there's a climb from Galilee to Jerusalem to Bethlehem. So they were going up to Bethlehem. Now, he was going to be registered with Mary, his betrothed, who was with child. And while they were there, the time came for her to give birth. And she gave birth to her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger because there was no place for them in the inn. So Bethlehem was a small village just a couple of miles away from Jerusalem. It's not well populated. It's not a big population center back then. But during this census, as people came, the population increased.
Right.
So we see a swelling of that population. And so there was not enough room available for various people. So Mary and Joseph found the accommodations that they could. It was probably a stable in near a house.
Mm-hmm.
And all that they could do was wrap Jesus in swaddling clothes and lay him in a manger. Now, what is a manger? It is a feeding trough.
Right.
And in Israel, it was probably hewn out of stone. It was cut out of stone, and they would put straw in it. And that's where they laid baby Jesus. So this is how it happened. It happened at a point in time. What was that point in time? When Caesar Augustus issued a decree that all should be registered. So a census was about to take place. It happened when Quirinius was the governor of Syria. It happened in a real place called Bethlehem.
Yeah.
So that's the facts of it.
Mm-hmm.
Now we move on into verse 9 or 8, and it says, in the same region, there were shepherds out in the field keeping watch over their flock by night. So there were shepherds, and we know that shepherds hung out around Bethlehem.
That's right.
Years ago, we went to Israel, and we went to the shepherd fields.
Mm-hmm.
And you can't do that today, but many, many years ago, we were able to do that. And we were able to sit out in these fields and overlook the town of Bethlehem. And guess what? There were actual shepherds in those fields.
Right.
And not much had changed as far as how they shepherded the flocks.
Mm-hmm.
The only difference is they had cell phones.
Yeah,
so you would see these shepherds out there, and they may be plowing up some land, and they have just a plow hooked to an animal, and they're letting the animal plow the ground up, and they're talking on their cell phone. And they might have a satellite dish on their tents, and they have these tents that they live in. And we were able to meet several of the shepherds and their families on that particular day. And then we had the opportunity to look down at the bottom of this field, and there was a flock of sheep, and there was one that gave birth. And we witnessed that. We watched it. It was just amazing. And all of us were just overwhelmed at that sight, thinking back 2,000 years ago when the Lamb of God was born into this world, the Lamb who was going to take away our sins once and for all. So it wasn't just by coincidence that Bethlehem was the place.
Yeah.
This is where sheep were bred, where they were gathered up, they were brought to Jerusalem, and many of those were used as sacrifices.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it's just appropriate that that was the place that Jesus was born, as the Lamb of God who would become the sacrifice, the once-for-all sacrifice, the one who would take away our sins once and for all. So these shepherds are out doing their thing,
right,
watching their flocks by night, and an angel of the Lord appeared to them. Now, I think that would scare the weebie-jeebies right out of all of us, right?
Especially at night. Yeah.
Yes, yes. An angel of the Lord appears. I mean, we have this built-in fear. All us humans, we have this fear of God built into us. That's the result of sin. And we walk around day in and day out on eggshells waiting for punishment. Man, I talk to people all the time, and they're just expecting something bad to happen at any moment in time. And they tie whatever bad it's going to be to something bad they've done in the past.
Right.
They know they deserve punishment. They're fearful of what that may be. They live their lives in fear. So if there's a visitation from on high, from either God himself or an angel that he has sent, it's going to activate that fear in us. Why? Because we're going to be expecting not grace and mercy and forgiveness, but judgment and punishment. Condemnation, judgment, and punishment. But every time God shows up, whether it's God himself, whether it's a vision of him, whether it's an angel, a messenger, every time that happens in the Word of God, we see that they are bringing promise and blessing to the person that they're meeting with.
Right.
And the same is here. So the angel came to make an announcement about what had happened. So the angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with fear.
Hmm.
The shepherds were filled with fear, and the angel said to them, "Fear not."
Yeah.
Those are beautiful words.
That's the message.
That's exactly right. That is baked into the gospel account, these words, "Fear not." Why? Because God wants to cast away our fear by his perfect love. And so when he shows up, he is there to show us that he truly is a God of love, and that he is pouring out his love on us in the person of Jesus Christ. So the angel said to them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news." When God shows up in this world, guess what? He is showing up in this world to bring us good news. Now, what is this good news? It's good news of great joy that will be for all the people. When we look out of there in the world, Bob, guess what we see? We see a lot of sadness.
Mm-hmm.
We see a lot of blah as far as people are concerned. We see a lot of people struggling with fear and guilt and shame. We see a lot of people bound to anxiety. They're anxious all the time. We see a lot of people in depression and despair. When we look out there in the world, we see that type of sadness. We see people who are down and out. But here's a message. Here's a story about a person, about Jesus Christ himself, that is joy that will be for all the people. If you're down and out, if you're looking for hope, the story of Jesus is the message of hope. "Now, for unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior." So this good news of great joy is about Jesus. He is the one that causes great joy in the hearts of anyone who receives him as Savior and Lord. "So for unto you is born this day in the city of David," Bethlehem, a Savior who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased." So if he's going to show up in somebody's life, it means that he is there to bestow his favor and grace upon that person in Jesus, right, in and through Jesus Christ. So what was the news? What is the good news that is great joy that will be for all the people? It's the announcement that Jesus Christ was born into this world in the city of David. Now, who is this Jesus Christ? He is our Savior.
Indeed.
Now, why did God send a Savior? Because you and I needed to be saved.
Right.
He could have sent whatever our greatest need was. If our greatest need was for finances, for money, for wealth, he would have sent somebody that could show us how to become wealthy. Mm-hmm. He would have sent an economist. If we had a need for physical healing, if that was our greatest need, he would have sent a physician. But our greatest need was salvation. We were trapped. We were bound. We were locked in as prisoners to sin and death. That happened at the garden, in the Garden of Eden, with Adam and Eve. The disobedience of that one man brought sin and death into this world, and all of us were made sinners. So we come into this world dead, spiritually dead in trespasses and sins. We are controlled by sin and death. We follow the ways of this world. We live to gratify the desires of the flesh. We are by nature children of wrath. Now, we have no ability to work our way out of that condition. We have no ability to change who we are when we came into this world. So if we're going to be saved, it's going to come from an outside source. It's going to come from Jesus himself. He is the Savior. So why did God so love us that he sent Jesus into the world? Because you and I needed salvation. We needed to be set free from that bondage to sin and death so that we could be joined to another and experience life, true life, genuine life, real spiritual life, the way God intended it from the very beginning. When Adam and Eve sinned, they died spiritually. They forfeited their spiritual life. That spiritual life is given back to us through faith in Jesus Christ. So he saves us from our sins. He cleanses us. He forgives us. He makes us holy. And then he gives us eternal life. That's what it means to be a Savior. That's how Christ saves us. He forgives us. He gives us eternal life, and then he comes to take up residence in us. Mm-hmm. So we're waiting for an advent in our own lives.
Yes.
And when we receive Christ, he arrives. He shows up,
yeah,
and takes up residence in us. So this was the message. This was the story the angel gave to the shepherds. There was a sign. And then this heavenly host shows up, and they sing glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased. Now, verse 15, when the angels went away from them into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let us go over to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us." Now, they would have never known that Jesus came into this world unless the Lord had revealed it to them.
Right.
And that's the nature of truth. That's the nature of spiritual truth. It's revealed to us. So all throughout the Word of God in the Old Testament, God was revealing this story about his son through the prophets. And then he shows up and he reveals the information that Christ is on the scene through angels.
Mm-hmm.
And since Christ's death, burial, resurrection, and ascension into heaven, he has been revealing it to us through the Word of God,
right,
through the apostles, the prophets. That has been revealed to us. Now he's revealing it to us by his Spirit. So if we want to know the truth about this gospel story, if we want to understand its impact on us, then God the Spirit has to reveal it to us. Now, the shepherds, they got the information. It was revealed to them. So they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in a manger. I love that. They went with haste. They didn't sit around. They didn't ask questions. Should we? Shouldn't we? Is this real? Were we just hallucinating? What in the world is going on? No, they went with haste to find the baby.
Mm-hmm.
So, and it says, and when they saw it, they made known the saying that had been told them concerning this child. So they let Mary and Joseph know what the angel had told them. And all who heard it wondered at what the shepherds told them. But Mary treasured up all these things, pondering them in her heart. Now, that's something that we don't do very often as human beings. We just let things go in one ear and out the other. We don't let it sink in. And I think we can take an example from Mary. We need to let this story sink into our minds, into our souls, so that it truly can be great joy for you and for me. So Mary treasured these things in her heart, and the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen as it had been told them. Now at the end of the 8 days, when he was circumcised, he was called Jesus, the name given by the angel before he was conceived in the womb. So here was the birth. Shepherds attended to that scene. They were revealed. God revealed the story to them. They went with haste to see the baby Jesus. They were amazed. They returned from seeing him, glorifying and praising God. And then on the 8th day, Mary and Joseph took Jesus to be circumcised according to the law. And on that day, they gave him the name Jesus. Now, Joseph had considered divorcing or separating himself from Mary when he found out that she was pregnant.
Yeah.
But he had had a dream, and in that dream, an angel appeared to him, and he said to Joseph, Mary is going to have a son, and you're going to name him Jesus. Now, why Jesus? Because Jesus means Savior. It means the one who is going to save his people from their sins. And so the angels appeared to the shepherds and said, today a Savior has been born to you in the city of David. And that exclamation point was put on that announcement 8 days later when Joseph named him Jesus. He is our Savior. He is the one that saves us from our sins. And why is he our Savior? Because that's our greatest need. And God so loved us that he sent Jesus to fulfill our greatest need. That's what this Christmas is all about. That's why we celebrate. There are so many people out there that get caught up in the consumerism, get caught up in the hype around Christmas.
Mm-hmm.
But we, as believers in Christ, we know the real story.
Yeah.
And just as the shepherds did, we can glorify and praise God because he sent a Savior to us.
Absolutely. And in the East, simultaneous with that, 3 men saw a star rising. And that's a story that will continue. Well, thanks for being with us on this Christmas Day, everybody. We trust that the celebration of Jesus has brought joy into your hearts and that the promise of God's provision for each of us is bringing peace and contentment into your homes and lives at this time. We hope you'll continue to celebrate his human birth, grateful for the plan that our God made before the foundation of the world and that included you. So for Michelle and Greg, for Coleman and Stephen, for Vivian and Kim, and for Rod up in Canada, and for our chief, Bob Christopher, I'm Bob Davis, of course, wishing you all a very Merry Christmas.